Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week we will hear from Pastor Ray on our teaching series, Refocus, Work, the continuation of worship. Now here is Pastor Ray.
You may be seated. Now if you would take your Bible and or your Bible app and turn to Colossians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages in the Bible we're going to look at today, Colossians chapter 3, as we come into the home stretch of this Refocus series, as we've been talking about now for several weeks, getting back to the basics of discipleship, and we're going to finish this series up next week. But today, we're going to look at this passage in Colossians chapter 3. Now, while you're finding that, let me announce, speaking of babies, let me announce to you that our daughter Danielle and her husband Stephen have had their baby girl. So we now have a baby girl, a girl in the family, and she was born on Friday, February 12th, weighing in at 7.5 pounds, and I think it was 18 and a half inches long, and mom and baby are doing well, and I think the picture was up there, I didn't see it, but if not, I have plenty on my phone. I will show you. I will be happy to show you after the service, and we are just delighted that our family continues to grow. What a blessing from the Lord it is. You know, the Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord, and that is so true. It is one of his best gifts to us. Well, Colossians chapter 3, and today let's discover what basic discipleship requires of us between Sundays. You know, we see each other here on Sundays, but what does basic discipleship require of us the rest of the week? So we're going to talk about what we do. We're going to talk about discipleship and work. Did you know that if you work 40 hours on average a week, by the time you retire, you will have spent 100,000 hours on the job. 100,000 hours. If you work 50 or 60 or more hours, you can just add a lot of numbers to that figure. And if you're a parent, a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, as the case may be, you can triple that number easily. So obviously work, what we do, consumes a huge part of our lives. Now, since God has ordained work, and God has ordained work. He has made us for work, and he expects us, he desires that we would find purpose in our work, then as Jesus' disciples, we should learn to love what we do. No matter what we do, we should learn to love what we do. We should learn to love our work. Work is a four-letter word, all right? It's just not a dirty four-letter word. It is of God. So the work that we do during the week, the work that we do during the week is simply a continuation of our worship from Sunday. Let me say that again. That's a basic principle of what we're going to talk about today. It's a basic Bible principle. The work that we do Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday or whatever the configuration is simply a continuation, or it should be, of the worship that we offer God on Sunday. So, how do we then make the work that we do our worship to God? How do we turn our work into worship? And I like the way Rick Warren puts it. He says, work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and when you perform it then in an awareness of his presence. So how do you turn your work into your worship of God? You dedicate it to God. What I'm doing, I dedicate it to you, God, and then you perform it with an awareness of his presence. His moment-by-moment presence in your work. Work is worship. Our worship involves our work. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that the idea that worship is only for church is one of the worst tricks of the devil, and I agree with that, that our worship is only for Sunday. You see, all of life is filled with opportunities to worship in what we do. So in whatever you do, whether at home or at an office, for big money or for little money, in retirement or in school, if there's a future in it or if it's a dead-end job, your work matters to God. Whatever you're doing, it matters to God. And so it's just a discipleship basic that we would learn to love what we do, that we would learn to love the work that God has assigned to us. It may not be the final work that we will end up with in life, but wherever we are, whatever we're doing at the moment, it's our work and it matters to God. You see, our work attitude and our work ethic and our work quality reveal our grasp of the Creator's intent for our work. And by the way, and this is critical to discipleship, this is critical to a robust or a thriving discipleship. How we work affects God's reputation on earth. How we work affects God's reputation on earth. And that's why it is so distressing when people who call themselves Christians are the sloppiest or the laziest or the worst workers in the workforce in any one place. It affects God's reputation on earth. Proverbs 18:9 says this, from the Message, slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. Let me read that again. Slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. I mean, what a tragedy it would be to live a vandalized life because of a wrong attitude at work before a watching world. Your work matters. Your work matters. So choose to love what you do. Now, there's a lot of scripture that talk about this, but I've selected this passage in Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 24, as a launch pad for talking about discipleship and work. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, whatever you do, that's your work. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, that's the principle, that's the admonition, and then he gives some specific applications of this in different arenas of life. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, don't get hung up on our modern-day understanding of submission. It's not a popular word in our culture, but in Ephesians chapter 5, remember that before Paul talks about wives submitting to their husbands, he talks about us submitting to one another. So husbands submit to their wives, wives submit to their husbands, we submit to one another, we submit to God, we submit to authority, we submit to our bosses. And so a better way, I think, to think about this would be wives, give deference to your husband, to what God has assigned your husband to do in the Lord, as is fitting in the Lord. That's a key phrase, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves or bondservants, obey your earthly masters in everything. Now, let me just pause, and because we can get hung up on this as well, but Paul is not affirming the institution of slavery. He was not a social reformer. He's a theologian, and he's teaching people how to be a witness for God by the way they live in whatever situation they're in. And slavery in the Roman world, in the major Roman cities of the empire, over half of the people were slaves, were bondservants. And there were people at all levels of all stratas of society that were slaves. You could be a professional, you could be a doctor, you could be a teacher, and you could be a slave at the same time. And if you were, you were indentured to a master. You were considered their property. You were a part of their household. And so Paul is just teaching them in that particular situation, this is what you need to do. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. And then he now gives the principle once again, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for people, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Now listen to this, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Because of whose you are and his calling on you, exuding excellence in whatever you do ought to be just a part of a good day's work. That's just basic discipleship. Why? Because, again, it's really the Lord Christ you're serving. In whatever you're doing, it's really the Lord Christ that you serve. Now, I want you to notice that Paul didn't say that whatever your job is. He didn't say whatever your career is. Rather, he said whatever you do, building homes or managing your own home, managing a financial portfolio for very wealthy people or managing preschoolers or managing your children being dedicated on a stage. Whatever you do, if you're paid or unpaid, if it's in school or in retirement, Paul says, do it with a passion for excellence, a passion for excellence, because Jesus is both your boss and your customer. That's right. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Now imagine the results. Imagine the results if we in this church, we watching or are in person worshiping the Lord today. Imagine if we gave sustained effort to living out this verse, not just here in worship on Sunday, but at work Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday or whatever the configuration is. I think instead of people buying whatever they buy at Nordstrom or Nike or Apple or Amazon, I think that they would be purchasing what we're promoting here at Portland Christian Center, and that is Jesus. If they saw that kind of example in us, I think they would want to know more about our Jesus. And so that is why our work matters. And that's why we are to love what we do. We're to love what we do. Now, to help us to think about this more deeply and more personally, I want to pose two questions today. And here they are. The first one is this: what is excellence in our work? What is excellence in the work we do? And the second question is, how do we pursue it? How do we pursue it? Now, I want to start with the last question first, because I think it's going to answer the first question. So we're going to start there. How can I pursue excellence in my work? And the answer is very clear if you look at verse 22. Very, very clear. He says, don't just do the minimum. I'm reading from the Message. Don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. In the NIV, that work from the heart is with sincerity of heart. Sincerity is from the Greek word hyplates, which means without folds, without folds, without folds. Everything is open. There's no ulterior motive. There's no hidden agenda. It's without hypocrisy. It's referring to integrity of heart. When it's without folds, what you see is what you get. What they see in you is what they get. Paul says not just some of the time, or when you're being watched, or with partial effort, but every time you do what you do, do your best. Do your best, and then some. Do your best, and then some. Go the extra mile. That's how you pursue excellence in your work. Back in 1997, there was a great book that came out. I read it, and it was on the Disney Corporation's commitment to excellence. And the book was called Inside the Magic Kingdom, and it gave the keys to their success or to their excellence. And the story revolved around some business executives that had gone to Disneyland or to Disney to learn their business model. And you know, one of the things, if you've been there, one of the things that Disney's famous for is the immaculate conditions of their facilities. And so as they're touring the property, one of the executives asked, how many custodians does it take to keep this place so spotless, so clean? And the guy leading the tour said, well, 45,000 custodians. That was how many employees all of Disneyland had at the time. That's all of their employees. You see, everyone at Disneyland, everyone at Disney sees cleanliness as my job. It's my job. Customer service is my job, no matter what you do. Easy access to the rides is my job. What makes Disney the Magic Kingdom is each employee's commitment to go above and beyond the call of duty, which leads to their excellence. Now, it's excellence that puts the shine in the real magic kingdom, the kingdom of God, at least it should, our excellence in what we do. And that's how we're to go about whatever we do, knowing that our daily work reflects on God's work. Our daily work actually reflects God's work. So let me ask you a question. Let's try to take this down to a very personal level. Ask you a question. Does a passion for excellence describe you in everything you do? Whatever that is. Does a passion for excellence describe you? I want you to take out a pen and rate yourself using a scale of 1 to 10 on your commitment to excellence. So go ahead and do that. Take out a pen. If you're at home, go grab one real quick. Or if you're here, grab a pen. And I want you to rate yourself on this scale of 1 to 10. So listen, if you could say, Jesus would be proud of the excellent work I do, give yourself a 10. Congratulations. I mean, we all should do that. Maybe few of us could, but we all should be there. If Jesus would say, you did a great job on that, you're doing a great job, give yourself a 10. Or if you do just enough to get by, if your work is influenced by how much you're paid or not paid, if you ever have said, that's not my job, then give yourself a one. If you're not writing this down because it's just too much work to find a pen, give yourself a zero. The whole point to this is, you're to be the kind of person Jesus would be if he were in your place. You're to be the kind of person Jesus would be if he were you. You should do your work as if Jesus were your boss or your customer. If your motive is anything less than that, you will never experience the joy of knowing that your daily work is as sacred as my calling as a pastor. Whatever you do, you are an ordained teacher or lawyer or custodian or shopkeeper or Uber driver or you fill in the blanks. You are as ordained as I am. A.W. Tozer said this: it is not what we do that determines whether our work is sacred or secular, but it's why we do it. It's not what we do. It's why we do it. It's the motive, the motivation that we have. And that's why Paul said in verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for people, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And so in whatever you do, working for Jesus' glory and for his approval is the best guide for how to approach the work that you do. And it's the best catalyst for excellence in your work. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. Not a job, not a paycheck. You work for Jesus. In reality, what you do, you work for Jesus. You work for Jesus. As a disciple, in your work, you don't work for an earthly reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. And that's the best example. That's the best answer to the other question is, what is excellence in your work? What I just said is the best answer to what is excellence in your work. Excellence is simply doing whatever you do for the audience of one, for Jesus himself, for the audience of one. Since he deserves that from you every day, in every way, in everything. After all, Jesus paid it all, and all to him you owe. All to him I owe. How could we offer anything less to the one who offered nothing less than his best to redeem us and to call us into his work, no matter what that is, in his kingdom, his work in his kingdom? I'm going to ask our musicians to come back, and we're going to now try to make an application of this for our own lives in a very personal way. And as a way of applying this teaching, I want to suggest to you, this should be all the time, but I want to suggest to you, we'll just kind of make it contained, a very simple 7-day experiment starting right now. Here's what I want you to do, and I'm going to join you in this. This week, do everything you do as if you were doing it for Jesus himself. Dedicate it to him. Stay aware of his presence. Why don't you try that? Why don't we try that this week? That we would do everything that we do as if we were doing it for Jesus himself. Now, here's what this is going to mean. If you're a wife, then you love your husband as if Jesus were your spouse. If you're a husband, then you will serve your wife like you would if Jesus were your bride. If you're a mom or a dad, you would parent your children as if Jesus were your child. If you're under somebody's authority, under a parent or under a teacher or under a supervisor, then treat them with the honor you would give Jesus if he were in their place. If you're a supervisor, then you would treat people with the dignity, the love, and the respect you would if Jesus were working for you. Do your work. Do your work, friends, and I'll join you. Let's do our work as if we were working for the man Because in reality, we are working for the man. It is the Lord Christ we are serving. Mother Teresa said something I thought was very powerful. She said, do your work for him, and your work will be done for him. Do your work with him, and your work will be done for him. And if we did that, if we did just that, we would turn our work into worship. We would. You know, I've asked Pastor Chip and team to lead us in a song. Maybe, you know, Pastor Chip and Laird are going to lead us in a song. And you're going to be familiar with the words of this song. And I think it's just perfect for what we've been talking about and what the Lord is asking of us. And it's the song, Take My Life. Take My Life and Let It Be. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're here in the audience. And if you're at home, you might want to stand as well. You can close your eyes and listen to the words of this. Keep your eyes open and listen to the words of this, or you can sing along with us. It's to a different tune than what we have learned in days of old, but I love this song, take my life and let it be. So let's sing this as our dedication, our prayer of dedication to the Lord, that we would turn our work into worship. Pastor Chip, lead us.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Here I am, whole of me. Take my life. It's all for Thee. Take my voice. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. Here am I, all of me. Take my life, it's all for Thee. Sing, here am I. Take my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee.
Would you lift your hands up to the Lord? Just turn your palms upward and just symbolically and in this prayer, just give your life, not only your worship on Sunday, but the rest of your life throughout the week. And let's pray. God, here we are. Here we are. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Lord, take our being, all that we are, and make them yours. God, this week, would you keep us aware of your presence as we do our work as unto you. God, we dedicate our lives to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Now listen, if you dedicated your heart for the first time to the Lord, I would encourage you to let us know. Come over to the side of the auditorium here and talk to one of our pastors, or if you're online, just write into the box and just write the word Jesus so that we know how to pray for you. And I want to chat, and if you need prayer, special prayer, we have pastors that are ready, people that are ready to pray for you, or over here you can get some special prayer if you need that individual touch of the master's hand through the prayer of one of our pastors. We encourage you to do that. As you go this week though, my prayer for you would be that you would always and only be aware that you are serving the Lord Christ in everything you do. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people again said, amen. God bless you as you go.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.